Welcome to the deep dive, everybody. Today we are looking at an article by Valerie Bennett and Christine Royce, and it is all about AI video generation in science classrooms. Our mission today is to figure out how these moving AI models are actually transforming students from like passive consumers into active scientific critics.
Okay, let's unpack this because, I mean, think about looking at a photograph of a tornado versus watching a video of one.
Right, the photo gives you like a frozen moment.
Exactly. But the video gives you the rotation, the chaos, the actual physics of the storm. Science isn't still, so our learning tools really shouldn't be either.
Yeah, and that is why this is such a massive shift in how we approach learning. I mean, traditionally, textbooks really struggle to capture that movement. Science is just full of these dynamic processes that are basically invisible to the naked eye in real time.
Oh, for sure.
We are talking about things that are, way too small, like watching molecules naturally spread out during cell diffusion.
Or way too large, right? Like the mechanics of planetary motion. Exactly. Or even just too slow, like fossil formation. Or frankly, just too dangerous to actually pull off in a normal middle school lab.
Right, you definitely don't want a massive chemical explosion in third period.
Definitely not. But if an AI can just generate this flawless 3D model of two tectonic plates colliding and forming a volcano, right on demand, it completely shifts the burden in the classroom.
But wait, so what does this all mean for the teacher then? Like, if the AI makes this perfect simulation, does that make the teacher kind of obsolete?
Well, no, not at all. They definitely aren't just hitting play and walking away. These AI videos act as models for these just-in-time demonstrations. The real power is in how the teacher uses it.
Like, as a discussion starter.
Yeah. Their actual job is to pause that video and ask you, the student, to interrogate it. Like, what is scientifically accurate here? Or did the AI miss a vital step in the subduction process?
Ah, I see. So the student is basically stepping into the director's chair.
Precisely.
And just like a real Hollywood director can't just look at an actor and say, be sad, they have to give specific motivations. A student can't just type, make a video about plants making food.
No, that wouldn't work at all. The prompt becomes the ultimate test of knowledge. To get a usable video, the student has to direct the exact scientific inputs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have to specifically ask the AI to show carbon dioxide entering the stomata, those tiny microscopic pores on a leaf, and then show the chloroplasts actually manufacturing glucose.
Okay, so a detailed prompt actually proves they understand the inputs, the outputs, and the whole sequence.
You got it. It is synthesizing the prompt as an assessment.
But wait, I have to push back here. Anyone who has played with these tools knows they hallucinate, right? They invent fake reality. What happens when the AI gets the science totally wrong? Doesn't that just derail the lesson?
I mean, you would think so, but in this context, that is actually a feature, not a bug.
Wait, really? A feature?
Yeah. Evaluating an AI error forces students to practice real scientific argumentation. So imagine a student prompts a video about the seasons, and the AI incorrectly shows that summer happens because the Earth literally moves closer to the sun.
Which is a super common misconception, by the way.
Right. So the student has to spot that misconception, use evidence to explain why it's wrong, and then revise their prompt to show the Earth's axial tilt instead.
That makes total sense. So we are relying on students to spot when the AI invents fake physics. But this reliance on critique logically brings us to the boundaries of the technology, right?
Definitely.
Because we are talking about human agency and equity here. What happens when the AI's errors aren't about the solar system, but about people?
That brings up a crucial boundary. If a student prompts the AI for a scientist and it only outputs these outdated biased stereotypes, that becomes an immediate teachable moment in the classroom about whose knowledge we traditionally value.
Which is so important.
It is a huge reason why organizations like UNESCO and the U.S. Department of Education have drawn a hard line here. They emphasize that AI is just the tool. The teacher remains the instructional designer.
Right, because it's incredibly easy to accidentally outsource the actual lesson design to the algorithm.
Exactly. Plus, practically speaking, not all students have equal access to high-speed internet or paid AI tools. So that essential critical thinking really has to happen together inside the classroom.
Here is where it gets really interesting to me. Treating these AI outputs with skepticism is exactly what prevents this from being just a shallow tech exercise.
Absolutely. You can't blindly trust the algorithm.
So why should you, the listener, care about this? Even if your own middle school science days are long behind you, we are all dealing with a relentless flood of polished AI-generated media every single day. Learning to critically evaluate polished AI models rather than blindly trusting them is basically a survival skill for today's information overload.
It really is. You have to look at a video and immediately ask, who built this and what is missing from the frame?
Yeah. And I want to leave you with a final provocative thought today to mull over. If we are successfully training 12-year-olds to relentlessly critique AI-generated science videos, how might adopting this exact prompt, reflect, and revise mindset change the way we adults consume our daily news and media feeds?
That is a great question.
It really makes you think. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.